We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 19. And that's on page 663 in the Red Bibles. Matthew and chapter 19. And we're going to read from verse 16. Now, behold, one came and said to him, that's to Jesus, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Let's just pray again. Father, we just look again to you for help to reveal by your Spirit the things that we need to hear tonight. Oh God, may we see the fullness that is in Jesus to enable us to turn to him. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this true story is about a young man going to Jesus. Now, this young man, he's rich, he's in a position of authority, and really that is his problem. He has so much of this world's goods, he has so much that he can trust in, that when he seeks to come to Jesus, there's something that is really holding him back. And I want to speak to us tonight on this subject of what is it that can hold us back from really coming to Jesus. If we want to know forgiveness for sins, if we want to know a relationship with God, there may be a great deal that is right in our lives, but we may have certain things that are holding us back from really meeting with Jesus. Now, it says that he came to Jesus and he asked him a question. He said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's no one good except God." This man has come to Jesus and he says, you are good. I recognize that you are good. And Jesus says in reply to him, "Why are you calling me good? There's only one person that's good, and that's God." And the first thing I want to say to you tonight is you may have recognized that there is something true about Jesus. That maybe you may have recognized that there's something true about Christianity. But I wonder, have you recognized the fullness that Jesus Christ is? And Jesus just begins, and we won't dwell on this, but he begins by really saying, "I am God." In saying that I'm good, there's only one that is really good, and that is God. Therefore, if you call me good, you are saying that I am God. That's the first declaration that Jesus makes. He is saying, "I am God." That's important for what we're going to look at in a moment. And then Jesus says, if you want to enter into life, you need to keep the commandments. And we all know that sin is the thing that separates us from God, don't we? Sin is the barrier between us and God. And so the man says to Jesus, "Which are the commandments, which are the rules that I need to keep?" in order to come to God? What sins do I need to be free from? So Jesus lists a number of sins that he might have committed. He says, well, the first rule is you shall not murder. And so the man says, in effect, well, I haven't murdered anyone, I'm all right with that. And Jesus says, you shall not commit adultery. And he must have said in his heart, well, I haven't committed adultery, I'm all right there. And he says, you shall not steal. And he says, well, I haven't stolen anything. You shall not bear false witness or lie about things. And he thinks it's okay there. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, he probably, well, almost certainly would have broken some of those commandments. But in his heart, he was doing his best to be right towards God. And it may be your situation tonight that you are doing your best to be right towards God. And you may say, I don't want to be sinning. I don't want to be doing that which is wrong. I want to have a perfect heart towards God. And everything that I think of in my life that I see is wrong, I don't want to do it because I want to be right with God. In a sense, that was what this young man was saying. He was saying, I don't want to sin. I want to do the right thing by God. And Jesus says to him, this man says, what do I lack? What is missing then from my life? And he senses that there is something missing from his life. He perhaps doesn't feel that he has that full relationship with God that he was created for. And I wonder tonight, is that your position, that you feel you don't have that relationship with God for which you were created? There's something missing. And though you've been doing your best to live as you should, to be a Christian, to not be sinning, because you know that sin keeps you out of heaven, sin is the barrier between you and God, yet you say there's still something missing. Some area in my life is wrong, where I'm not right with God. And that's just what this man said. He says, I've tried to keep these rules, so what is the thing that I'm lacking? And Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect, that really means if you want to be right with God, he says, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And the man is very sorrowful because he's a very rich young man, and he says in his heart, I don't want to do that, and he goes sorrowfully away. Now, what this is really speaking to us about is our attitude towards God and our attitude towards ourselves. You see, this man, because he had riches, because he had so much wealth, that was the thing that was a barrier between him and God. And yet, though he was seeking not to sin, he felt that he had everything he needed already. He felt that he was complete in himself. He said in his heart, I've got riches and this is all I really need. And he was not looking beyond his riches and saying, I need something else. And the key thing was that he was rich towards himself. He was rich in spirit. And that may be our position tonight, that we don't really see our need for God. And we feel that we in ourselves have everything we need. We may be so content with our family, with our friends, with our possessions, with our intelligence, with our ambitions, with our pride, and think, therefore, I don't need God. And so this was the great barrier between this man and God. It was the riches. He felt he was rich. He felt he had everything he needed. And tonight, the great barrier that may be between you and God is that you feel that you have everything you need, that you are rich in yourself. And let me tell you, this will be a barrier to keep you out of heaven forever unless it is dealt with. You see, Jesus challenged the man and he said, you need to give up your riches, this symbol of being rich, of being self-sufficient, of having everything you need. You need to give it up to God and then you'll be rich in God. That means you'll have eternal life. You will know God for yourself. And the man, he didn't want to give up the things in which he was rich in himself. For him it was material, it was genuine riches, literal riches. But for us, that may be the one thing that we are unwilling to give up, our self-sufficiency. And when we come to God, we don't really see that we have a need for God. We say, I have everything I need in myself. I have my own righteousness. I don't need to look to God to provide me with that righteousness because I have that righteousness in myself. And you see, at the beginning of this whole passage, Jesus declared that he himself was God, and that the man coming to him in a position of need really was coming to God. And as we come to God, we need to recognize that God is the one who is almighty, the one who is all-sufficient, the one in whom there is no sin, the one who is limitless in his provision. And when we come to God and we recognize that, we see that we really have nothing and we really need nothing other than God. You see, God is so the one who can provide so self-sufficient and all-sufficient for our needs. If you really see God as he is, as Jesus was trying to reveal himself to the man, if you see God like that, you will be content to leave everything else behind to go to God. You see, the person who has God in their life has everything. They have everything they need. They have all the riches they need. They have all the happiness they need. They have peace. They have everything, because everything that you need, everything that I need, is found in God and found in God alone. So I wonder, is this your position tonight? That you're saying, I don't really need God because I already have everything. And I wonder, on this very particular issue of salvation, do you see your need for God for the forgiveness of your sins? You see, unless we recognize that we have a need, that we are sinners, that our righteousness is not sufficient to get us into heaven, as long as we think that, we will not come to God for our salvation. But that means that you're already rich towards yourself. But the person who looks at their own life and says, I am completely poor in terms of righteousness, I have no richness, no wealth at all. I have nothing that I can bring before God. I have to come empty-handed before God. There's no life in me, there's no health in me, there's no strength in me, there's no goodness in me, and so I need God. And really, everyone, when they first become a Christian, when they get saved, they go to God and say, I need you for my salvation. I need you to be my righteousness. I need you to deal with my sin, because I have no righteousness of my own. And let me tell you, tonight, unless you come to God and recognize that you have no righteousness, that all the righteousness that you will ever have is found in Jesus, you can never be saved. You can never get to God in your righteousness, in your sinlessness, because you don't have it. But there is one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was rich towards God, inasmuch as he lived a life of righteousness while he was on earth. And when you become a Christian, you are really saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my righteousness. I want you to be my sinlessness. And I want you, O God, to forgive my sins. And if we come to God declaring our helplessness, our emptiness, our poverty, God will receive us. That's the only way we can come to God. We have to come empty-handed. And many people think that in order to get to God, you have to buy your way, or you have to do something, you earn your way, you do good deeds to earn your way to God. But no, that will keep you. Coming with a gift, in a sense, will keep you out of the presence of God. But the one who comes empty-handed to God will be received. You may know the famous passage in Matthew chapter 5, known as the Beatitudes. And the first one, as Jesus taught, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's really what Jesus was talking about, what we've heard tonight. This man came and he was too rich in his heart to get into the kingdom of heaven. But if you come poor in heart, poor in spirit, then God will receive you because of Jesus, because Jesus becomes your riches. He becomes everything you need when you trust in him to get to God. Now Jesus ends this little discussion, this passage, and he says, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." That means someone who's rich in heart. "And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So you have a little needle, and it has the little eye in it, and Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the little eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's basically, Jesus is saying, it is impossible for someone who is rich in their heart to get into the kingdom of heaven. And so his disciples say to him, who then can be saved? Who can become a Christian if it's as hard as that for someone who is rich in their heart? And Jesus says, it's impossible for you. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And really what Jesus is saying is this. In your heart tonight, you are rich. You say, I have everything I need. And that is going to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus is saying, God can give you the power to change, to be poor in spirit. And if you will only come to God admitting your need, then God will do the miracle that enables you to turn to him. And I want to ask you tonight, do you want that miracle in your life? Do you want the tremendous change that happens when you become a Christian? When the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside you? When you have a relationship with God for the first time? And let me assure you, it is a miracle. It's a miracle when someone becomes a Christian. Let me ask you tonight, do you want that miracle in your own life? A miracle that only God can do. You cannot do it. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself a Christian. But if you turn to God and say, I know it's impossible for me, yet it is possible for you, then God will receive you. I wonder tonight, will you just turn to God and say, yes, there's nothing I can do to bring myself to you. There's nothing I can do to purchase my salvation. But I believe that Christ, the heavenly Lamb, the one who died on the cross for me, is everything that I need to bring me to you. And if you do that, God will receive you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this perfect way that you have set out that enables us to come to you, not through any riches or wealth of our own, but through the riches and the person of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray tonight that you would help us to see it. Oh God, may we each one here take it into our hearts and into our spirits, into our minds, into our souls, into the depths of our being, all that you are, what you have done for us, that we might come to you to find our full salvation in you. Oh God, without you, we have no hope, we have no help. And we just pray, Lord, that this miracle of salvation that some here tonight need would be done by your grace. Cause each one to turn to you by your grace and for your glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing 341. 341. In Redemption Hymnal, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. This is talking about describing Jesus as being like a rock, like a rock that is split open.
in which you can hide yourself from a storm and from all the unpleasantness that surrounds you. 341.